Brilliant, Paul. Thank you very much. And it's great to see you all. I'll speak for about 20 minutes and then chuck it over for questions, reflection, discussion, see where we go. We'll end by 1:45. Well, I guess at one level, if we were to describe our faith, we would say that faith is all about what we believe. But I think we all know that we want our faith to go beyond what we simply believe in our heads. We want it to hit our hearts. We don't want to just recite truths about God. We want to have a relationship with him. And actually, if I feel at any point as if I'm just going through the motions in my faith, I kind of find that unsettling for people looking into the Christian faith. If they feel as if they're encountering a group of people who have just got ideas but no heart engagement, it's kind of deeply unattractive. It's cold and it's formal. In other words, all of us want a deep personal knowledge of God. Well, in the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at these last words of Jesus in the upper room the night before he died as he's about to leave his disciples. He's been talking about the importance of him going to the cross, that they would see his glory. But really, for all that he's talked about the importance of the cross, for the disciples, this is not just ideas. This is deeply personal because they love Jesus. They've been with him for 3 years. They've followed him around for 3 years. And now he said he's going away. And I guess the questions going around their minds are, well, how are we to keep going? How are we to keep loving Jesus? How will this relationship work when he's no longer with us? And of course, we can ask the same questions today with Jesus not physically with us. What does it look like to love him, to deepen our love for him? And that is really, I think, the topic that we have today. You can see right at the beginning of our reading, Jesus says, if you love me. So the topic is, what does love for Jesus look like when he's gone, when he's not with us, if you like, when he's not in the room? And the first answer we get is slightly surprising. And that is that to love Jesus is to obey his commands. You can see it there in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And straight away, I think we hit a bit of a problem because I think this jars with us. It feels like a straitjacket. It feels exactly the kind of cold, submissive religion that the world finds unattractive and that we fear. But Jesus says it again in verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. I guess it goes without saying, we live in a society that views love as being primarily a feeling. It talks about love as being a sense of fulfillment, of love as being spontaneous and free. Where does this talk of love as obedience fit with that? We often talk about love as a way that we express ourselves individually, the way that I love, whom I love, the feelings that I have, that's the way that I express myself. It's not just culture out there. Even with our own lives, we all long to be loved, don't we? We look for love as a way of finding fulfillment and filling the emptiness. Very quickly, our desire to be loved becomes about us and our yearnings and our expression of ourselves. And into that culture, Jesus says these words, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And for all that it sort of jars a little bit, I think deep down we know it's right. Because deep down we know that love isn't about self-fulfillment, but self-sacrifice. It's not about me expressing myself, but giving myself. It's not about me loving myself, but being selfless. I think sort of deep down we know that love has at its heart setting someone else at the center. And therefore it will be seen not just in our words, but also in our deeds. So yes, love may be an emotion, but it finds its expression in action, an action towards someone else. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I guess you could think about it like this. When I wake up in the morning, I like to have a cup of coffee, you know, proper strong coffee, the kind of coffee that makes your eyes go slightly wavy, you know, that kind of thing. My wife likes to have a cup of tea first thing in the morning, which I think is a little bit weak. I think if you mean business with the day, get a proper cup of coffee. Now imagine I wake up before her, I decide to take a hot drink. Do I express my love to her by taking her a quadruple espresso? Well, no, I take her a cup of tea because part of what love does is it finds out what pleases someone. We do the same with our family, our friends, don't we? If we've got a niece with a birthday coming up, we'll ring her mother and say, what present would be really good? And so loving Jesus means seeking out what pleases him and acting on it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, says Jesus. So the Christian doesn't simply express their love of Jesus in their songs or the words they use about Jesus in front of other people, but with our actions. If we're looking into the Christian faith, I think we often think about investigating the evidence for Jesus, and that's important. But we also need to look at Jesus' teaching. Is this something that I'm drawn to? Is this an ethic I want to live by? What ethics am I going to live by? I mean, there's a challenge in this statement of Jesus that for all of us, our love will be shown by what we give ourselves to. But interesting to think, if someone had watched us over the last week, whom or what would they say that we love? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, what commandments is he talking about there? Well, I guess at the most basic level, he must be talking about his ethical teachings, perhaps in the Sermon on the Mount. And I guess there's a question of, do we long to listen to Jesus' teaching and to obey them? And by that, I don't just mean sort of avoiding obvious scandal at home, but actually, I mean, particularly in the workplace, you know, are we really longing to live our lives around our colleagues with the kind of integrity and uprightness that Jesus would have us do? I mean, it's very easy in lockdown to make excuses for ourselves, but let's not lose that energy of seeking to please Jesus. Now, in the particular context that Jesus is speaking, the big commandment he's been speaking about is in chapter 13. We've seen it a couple of times. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you're to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So the command right in our forefront of our mind as we hear these words of Jesus is the command to love other Christians. And again, I think that's pretty hard at the moment. I used to work in finance for 15 years, and I really valued having other Christians around me in the workplace, either in my same office or in talks like the Paddington Talks. It just helped me to keep going, to keep remembering who I was throughout the week, and a chance to pray with them and to connect with them. Very hard to do that in lockdown, isn't it? But let's keep going. Let's keep trying to love each other as Paddington Talks, maybe other Christians in our workplace or perhaps in a similar situation to us. Let's keep trying to reach out to people. I don't know, maybe there's someone this afternoon, a Christian in a similar situation that you could reach out to and just try and have an online coffee or something like that. But let's keep trying to love each other, even in the midst of this, because to love each other is to love Jesus, because it is to obey him. So that's the big challenge, I think. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, it's worth being clear. We do this in the strength of God's Holy Spirit. We've got much yet to say about the Spirit in this series. He shows us our sin. He enables us to be transformed. So this must start with prayer. It's also worth being clear that our motivation is love and not obligation or fear. We'll think about that more in a moment. But let's just feel that challenge. And it may be surprising us, but to love Jesus is to obey his commandments. Now, at this point, we might say, well, that all feels a little bit one way, if you like. What is Jesus' role in this? After all, it's hard to love someone that we don't see. I think the second thing we see here is that to love Jesus is to know his presence. Let's look at verse 18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So remember that the disciples there with Jesus the night before he dies, their big concern is that he is going away. Well, what a wonderful reassurance as he says to them, I won't leave you as orphans. To know Jesus is to know his presence. I don't know, maybe you can remember as a child getting lost somewhere, perhaps in a fun fair or on some shopping arcade somewhere, calling out for your parents and then looking out up with joy as they came around the corner and now you're reunited. Well, that is the picture here. Jesus says, I won't leave you as orphans. As we cry out to him, he hears and responds. As the disciples that night before he died spoke to him in confusion and bewilderment, he says to them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Well, how is it that he won't leave us as orphans? Well, verse 16, he says, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That is the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the great promises that runs through these chapters. Let's just notice how God's Holy Spirit is described here. For one thing, he's a helper. Now, that sounds a little bit anemic. It sounds like someone has come to help us with our maths homework or something. But in reality, the Greek word there has a sense of someone who comes alongside us. it would often be used of a legal counselor or an advocate, someone who's right on our side, someone who's going to plead our cause, someone on whom we can depend. And what a wonderful encouragement for the disciples. Jesus is going away, and he says, my Holy Spirit is going to come alongside you. Notice that he's another helper. So he's another one like Jesus. So he'll do Jesus' work. And he's a he. He's personal. And he's the Spirit of truth. So he's going to lead us to truth. Last week we saw Jesus say that he was the way and the truth and the life. And now the Holy Spirit comes to lead us to truth. There's much more that we can say about the Holy Spirit from these verses, and we'll say more next week. But I think the big thing I want to grasp this lunchtime is that word dwell. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be with you. The Holy Spirit is with us. To know, to love Jesus is to know his presence. My son the other day had to do an exercise for, I think it was a history lesson, where he had to say, imagine that if you had, you could invite six people around for dinner, anyone from any time in history, who would you invite around for dinner? It's kind of the downside of home learning, isn't it? When the teacher runs out of ideas, you see what they get up to. Well, imagine you can invite anyone around for lunch tomorrow, anyone you wanted to. Barack Obama, Sir Alistair Cook, Gary Barlow, I don't know who it might be. Imagine the privilege as they walk through the door. And then if it's Sir Alistair Cook, say, the next time you see him on television in the TV studio, you're not going to be thinking, oh, he's that bloke on the telly. You're going to be thinking, he's the bloke who came to my house. You'll feel that sense of connection, that special moment. We'll see how special these words are here. As Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will dwell with us. What a wonderful privilege. He's not remote. He's the Holy Spirit living within us. Verse 20, he says, in that day, you'll know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now cast your mind back to last week. Do you remember we looked at this verse? In John chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And we talked last week about that eternal intimacy between God the Father and God the Son. God the Son making his home in his Father's house of heaven. God the Father dwelling within the Son. Well, now that eternal relationship of intimacy is extended out to the believer. I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Or verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commands, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home within him. It's not just that we see Jesus' glory through his Holy Spirit, but that his glory, if you like, belongs within us. That's an extraordinary thing. Do you remember last week we said that in the Old Testament, Moses couldn't see the glory of God. He wasn't allowed to. Isaiah saw the glory of God and feared for his life. No one could see God's glory. And now we've not only seen his glory through his Spirit, but his Spirit dwells within us. What kind of God is this? He doesn't just visit. He doesn't just come for lunch. He dwells. He's permanently within us. I will not leave you as orphans. What a reassurance for the disciples as Jesus prepares to leave and go to the cross. What a reassurance for us if we're struggling at the moment with lockdown, that his Spirit lives within us. What a reassurance when we sit this afternoon with all our homeworking set up around us. To love Jesus is to know his presence through his Spirit. We'll say more about this next week. But I do just want to be clear that it's not as if our obedience to Jesus is a price that we pay for his Spirit to dwell within us. I think it's possible to read verse 21 a little bit like that. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I think this is really a statement of the way things are, rather than that by obedience we earn the Spirit. So I think you could think of it this way. There are two things that are true of the Christian. One is that we have God's Spirit dwelling within us. The other is that we love Jesus and therefore we are obedient to him. It's not that one earns the other, but the two are true. So I don't earn the presence of God's Holy Spirit within me by my obedience. But I think there is here a sense that if I want to live out my relationship with Jesus to the full, then I want to obey. Think about it like this. If I I could wake up tomorrow morning and decide that I'm going to ignore my wife for the whole day. Not easy in lockdown, but I reckon if I put my mind to it, I could do it. You know, I don't talk to her over lunch. I just watch the television in the evening. And by the end of the day, I've not really said anything to her. My status, I'm still married to her. But I'm hardly living out the relationship as I'm supposed to. Well, in the same way, if I'm not living in loving obedience to Jesus, then I'm not living out my relationship with him as I'm called to. And if we're on the call and, you know, we're a follower of Jesus and at the moment we feel cold towards him, then in one sense, I think these verses say that love isn't a feeling. We know the truth by his Spirit. If we know that truth, we keep going. But it is worth asking if there is any area of our lives when we know there is deliberate disobedience, maybe thoughtless, maybe purposeful. But if there is, then I don't think we should be surprised if we're not living in obedience to Jesus, if we don't feel that intimacy with him. And I think we want to feel the challenge of these verses of Jesus. You know, the disciples that night were fearful that Jesus was going away. And it's as if he says to them that I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but for your part, obey me in love. For us, Jesus at times may feel distant, but he says to us, I'm with you through my Holy Spirit. For your part, remain in my love by loving obedience. Well, to know Jesus is to know his presence. It's a tremendous privilege. And it's that knowledge that is why we love. So to love Jesus, thirdly, is to obey his teaching. Now, do you notice verse 23? Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will come to him. Again, in verse 24, he talks about his word. Now, in verses 15 and 21, he talked about obedience to his commandments. The language changes slightly here. And I think it is significant because throughout John's gospel, Jesus' word is his revelation of his character. So to obey Jesus, yes, it's to obey his ethical commands, but I think we need to push deeper. It's to hold on to his whole revelation of God's character, everything that he teaches us that is truth. In the context of the chapters we've been reading, think to last week. That is the truth, that through Jesus' death on the cross, if we're trusting in him, he has paid for all of my sin, and therefore he is the way into the Father's presence, the way through which God dwells within me, by his Holy Spirit. So to obey is to obey Jesus' teachings. And as I do that, I begin to grasp something of the scale of Jesus' love for me. And that is then what will transform me. So to love Jesus is to obey his teachings, to hold on to his teachings. When it seems hard, that verse we looked at last week, no one comes to the Father through me. Well, I'll hold on to that if I'm loving Jesus. When I struggle to believe that Jesus really could forgive my sin, I'll hold on to his promise that my sins are forgiven. Because to love Jesus is to obey all of his teachings as he reveals himself to me. One way to look at this is to think about it in the opposite, and that's what we get in verse 24. Jesus says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. In other words, I won't be able to keep Jesus' teachings and his words by duty or obligation or fear or guilt. It is love that enables me to obey. We've talked before about the tragedy of non-believers who say, well, I want to take Jesus' ethical teaching and I'll obey that, but I don't really want to believe in what he says about himself being the Son of God. Well, that is miserable. That's trying to obey his teachings without the engine of love within us. And it is joyless and cold and guilt-inducing. If we're looking into the Christian faith, we need to understand the cross as well as Jesus' teachings. Otherwise, we're not really experiencing the full wonder of his grace and love, and therefore we will have no energy to obey. My favourite illustration of this, you may have heard this before, I've stolen it from someone else, but you may remember that in Greek mythology, there was an island with a whole load of rocks around it that were quite dangerous to ships, and on this island lived some women called the Sirens, and they would sing beautiful music to sailors going past, and the sailors would sail too close to the island and shipwreck their ships on the rocks. Now, when Ulysses needed to pass by that island, he wanted to hear the beautiful music of the sirens. So he got his sailors to put wax in their ears, and he got them to tie him to the mast without wax in his ears so that he could hear the music, but he couldn't turn the wheel to head the boat towards the rocks. But when Orpheus went past the island, What he did was he took out his harp and he played a more beautiful music. So his sailors kept sailing straight on past the sirens because they wanted to follow this more beautiful music. Well, true Christian obedience doesn't lash ourselves to the mast of Jesus' teachings out of cold duty or obligation, but it follows him out of love because we've listened to the beautiful music of Jesus' revelation of him giving of himself on the cross. It's as we see his love for us that we will love him and we'll be led to obey. So to love Jesus is to obey his teachings in the fullest sense of his revelation. We're nearly out of time, but I do just want to end by just making this point that to love Jesus is to follow his example. We'll look at this verse next week, but I want to pick it up now. Jesus says, as he talks about the cross, "I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." In other words, Jesus isn't in telling us to love him by obeying him and just giving us a special rule that's just the case for us. When we look at the cross, yeah, I see Jesus' love for me, but I see his love for his Father as he obeys him, even to the point of death. That is beautiful. If I want to understand the true essence of love, I see it in Jesus' love for his Father at the cross, and that is the love that I'm called to share. You know, as a society, we sing endless songs about love, but as long as we reduce love to romantic love, as we reduce romantic love to self-fulfillment, we miss true love. Because to Jesus, love is self-sacrifice. It's what he taught, it's what he lived, and it's what he calls us to. And if we put our faith in Jesus and accepted his forgiveness,